Good evening, everyone. It's 6 p.m. on another Wednesday evening, and here it is, another episode of Jules on the Field, inside the world of our athletes, here on radio.dominican.edu. It's the fourth episode already, and I've really had two interesting guests here in the studio of Penguin Radio during the last weeks. Dancing major Joel and basketball guard Carly last week. They have been here with me on the hot seat, so to speak, and they told me about their sport and about the feeling of being a DU athlete. Today I've got another interesting guest with me. It's freshman Melissa Stokely from our Dominican women's soccer team. I did not only invite her because soccer is my favorite kind of sport, and not only because I'm also in this sport in the broadcasting team, and therefore I might have a little more insight into this sports team than into many others. One other reason why Melissa is here with me today is that our women's and men's soccer teams just recently came back from their road trip to Hawaii, and we all were jealous of them, I suppose. And not only because we saw all the beautiful pictures of this trip on Facebook, I think there is a lot to talk about, especially because I get to talk to an insider today. Talking of me as a soccer fan personally, I have to admit that I actually follow the coverage of men's soccer a lot more attentively than the one of women's soccer back at home. And because a lot of people behave like that, there is a big problem and also discussion in Germany. For example, during the World Cup here in Germany in 2011, the tickets weren't sold out and many seats in the stadiums were empty. Of course, there was also a lack of atmosphere because of that. Something that's actually really, really sad in my opinion. Especially because our German women's soccer team is really good. We've won the World Cup twice and the European Championship 8 times. By the way, I have to impress a little now, Germany is also the only country which has won the World Cup both with the men's and women's team. However, well, we've had our highest loss in a game against the USA, which ended 0-6, but that was back in 1996, I don't even remember. Talking about memories, there is one women's soccer game that is stuck in my head since 2003, the final of the World Cup in the US, where we were matched against Sweden. The game was tied for a very long time until Nia Künzer, who became my favorite female soccer player because of that, scored the golden goal during overtime with a header. Unfortunately, she had to cope with a lot of injuries afterwards. But I still remember the situation as her best moment on the field, and now she's one of the experts in the broadcasting team on TV when there's an important women's soccer game. This World Cup in general is also seen as kind of the breakthrough for women's soccer in Germany nowadays. Actually, you have to keep in mind that even though our German men's soccer team might be more popular, the women's soccer team has been more successful during the past couple of years. While the women's team achieved impressive 8 trophies during the last 10 years, 2 World Cup wins and 4 European Championship wins, the men's team had its last huge victories back in the 90s. And with Birgit Prinz, the women's team also had a German top goal scorer during the World Cup in 2003. Women power, I'd say. And that's also just the right expression when talking about our Dominican Lady Penguins soccer team. Our broadcasting booth is always right next to the team's benches. That's why I always feel like I'm really on the field and close to the team. You can sometimes even hear the coach's instructions or what the players talk about while they're watching the game or getting substituted. Very interesting, I have to admit, but not in a negative way, of course. Melissa, you don't have to be worried. Observing the game and our Dominican Penguins team next to the field, there are several things which really impressed me. For example, our team always stands next to the field, cheering their colleagues and pushing them forward, in contrast to their opposing teams most of the time. Of course, I think this is on purpose, but still, it simply seems much more active and committed to the game. The fact that our coach Tara Kuleski is also always standing next to the field, giving instructions, talking to her players or substituting, even increases this feeling of a good team spirit. Our team does not only play well together, even though there are some new players since this semester, there also seems to be a really good atmosphere, and that's visible for the audience. Before we're gonna hear the story of one of the players in this Lady Penguins team, I have one little service announcement for you. With Halloween approaching, it's of course about the Haunted House, which is open to the public here on campus on October 26th. That's this Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m. It's going to be a show-stopping evening full of fright and freakish fun in the Theater of Blood here on campus, formerly known as the Science Center, by the way. Besides, the event is free, even though you should give a little sacrifice, and that's at least one canned food item for Campus Ministry's Trick or Treat for Canned Goods event. All the food will be donated to the Marin Community Food Bank. So even though we're all poor students, I think we can afford that, especially when it's for charity. The Associated Students of Dominican University, ASDU, planned and organized the Haunted House again. So make sure you go there and check out the result. It will be amazing. After so much information and admittedly a little frightening news, I figured we'll take our first music break before we go on with Melissa's stories about athletics here at Dominican University. The song I'm gonna play right now is Waving Flag by Knaan, the official song of the World Cup in soccer in 2010. I think it's simply a song which expresses everything that I've just talked about. Team spirit, activity, power, and a good and positive atmosphere. I remember that the summer of 2010, when the World Cup took place, was a really good one in Germany. We enjoyed the good weather, the sun, and going to the swimming pool, and the song simply brings this feeling back. So lean back, think of your own summer memories, and enjoy Waving Flag.
Yeah.
back. This is DJ Jules live here on radio.dominican.edu. You just listened to Waving Flag by Knaan. But now I'm sure we're all excited to finally hear something of Melissa herself. As I told you, she's 18 years old, a freshman in our women Dominican soccer team, plays midfield and is also a comm major, by the way. So Melissa, welcome here in the studio. How are you today? That sounds good. I've heard you just returned from your road trip to Hawaii on Sunday. So how did you experience this trip with the whole team?
With the team, we knew it was going to be a business trip. So that's what most of the trip was like, the 10 days there. But we also got to have some fun. So, I mean, who's not going to enjoy their time in Hawaii?
Yeah, you have to, sure. That sounds good. A good mixture, kind of.
Definitely.
Good. For everyone who doesn't know yet, our team had during their trip to Hawaii 1-0 win, but also 3 losses in their 4 games. So, Melissa, did these results somehow mar the mood amongst the players?
I would say the only bad effect of the results is having to come home to our teammates back home. I mean, that's our family, and you never want to give those results back to your family. But the results don't necessarily show how hard we worked in Hawaii. We had to deal with different conditions and different fields. We always play on our huge turf field. So going back to Hawaii and having to play on grass fields was a huge transition for us. And we stayed in most of our games like we have all season. It was like 1-0 games and a couple, there was 1-2-0 game. But the score doesn't reflect how hard we worked while we were there.
Yeah, I can imagine that. So did you expect such tough and tight games? It was all... Sometimes it was only 1 goal difference?
Going into the trip, we knew that all of the games were going to be really tough. Our coaches always give us kind of a breakdown of player assessments and game evaluations, and we always talk about it. So we knew going into this that like BYU Hawaii was going to be a really tough game, and that Hilo had definitely stepped up their game from last season, and they were going to be hard games. But we went into the trip saying we needed to get 12 points and 4 wins. We weren't able to get that result like we wanted to, but we knew going into it they were going to be tough games for us.
You wanted to, you said, but what did go wrong kind of in the games then finally?
Going wrong, I think a lot of it had to do with the weather and dealing with the humidity as well as the fields. They really offset our game. We weren't able to play with the speed of our forwards as much. It caught our defense off guard with the bouncing of the grass fields. It just a lot of things were changed in our game.
I can understand that. That's a huge difference. So I think every one of us has seen some soccer players still on the campus during this week, though. I've heard your coaches had to draw up kind of a short list of players for this trip. So how did that work, kind of?
Well, we knew before the season started that there was only going to be an 18 to 20 player roster that would travel when we have away games. So we were told from the beginning to have a very competitive atmosphere whenever it was a practice or game scenario. And basically, you just work as hard as you can and you earn your spot on the field. Whether you were a freshman or a senior, you had to earn the right to play and get the minutes that you have. And then the 3 coaches would sit down and write up the travel team for each game. So, I mean, even if you got to travel to some of our away games, that didn't mean you were going to Hawaii, and you always had to give every bit of effort you had, every practice, because you had to earn your spot.
So it kind of is a situation that you face before every away game, so you're kind of used to that.
Yeah, and you can even look at our starting lineups throughout the season. We don't have a set starting 11. We've always
That's
been
true.
Changing, so it... Even if it's a home game, you have to earn your time on the field, and I think that's what's kept it really competitive among our women's soccer program.
Is it kind of a huge tension then amongst the players? Because it doesn't seem like that when you watch your team besides the field, but I imagine there to be a lot of tension then between the players somehow.
You can definitely sense that there's tension, but the accountability lies on ourselves. That's one of our team's core values, is accountability. And we all have our roles that we play on the team. And you know, if you're not starting, that lies on your shoulders to work harder. And everybody's always going to give their 100% effort. So whether you're playing or not, you're making your teammates better. And in the end, it's about the team results. So that's the way we've always looked at it, is doing what's best for the team.
And you could say that it's kind of working out when you look at your results during the season.
Definitely.
I've seen some pictures of that trip on Facebook, on the Dominican homepage and so on. And they reminded me of kind of a school class trip somehow, because there were not pictures of the games. So give us a little description of what your days were like in Hawaii. Where did you live, for example, and what did you do apart from soccer?
We spent the first 7 days on Waikiki, and we stayed in a hotel that was in walking distance from the beach. But like I said, it was a business trip, so while we got to see the beach, we didn't get to be on it very often. We'd wake up in the mornings and go down and have breakfast at the hotel with our team. We'd always have to be matching in uniform or in Dominican gear. We had practices sometimes at the park. We had games. We had three of our games on Honolulu, in the Honolulu area, while we were there. We did get a couple of free hours, so we got to spend some time at the beach, obviously, from pictures that you've seen. The coaches took us on a surprise adventure and actually took us on the Spirit of Aloha captain's boat one evening.
Wow, that sounds great.
And we got to jump in the ocean and, like, swim with the fish and things like that. So that was a great opportunity. I mean, those were the fun things we got to experience, and those are the memories we're never going to forget while there. Yeah. And then when we went to the other island, we stayed in Hilo. And it was just awesome because this was one of the first opportunities we really got to connect with the boys' team. Last year, Phil was the coach for both teams, so now that Tara's our coach, it was different because we don't see the boys that often, so it was a great opportunity for the teams to connect together. We got to have dinners with them sometimes, and just the whole trip and all was a great opportunity to bond together as a whole soccer program.
Yeah, and simply to connect with all the players and all the teams and have this experience together, I imagine.
Definitely.
That sounds really, really good. It, and now we're even more jealous, I think. Well, how is it after this trip to get back home to your normal soccer routine here at Dominican? I mean, we have had fog in the last few days here in the mornings. It was getting colder. How did that result for you?
That was horrible, I will say personally, because you're coming from a whole 24 hours a day being 80 degrees and humid. And like I said, that affected our soccer. So when we had our first 7 a.m. practice, not only for us the time changed to where it was normally like 4 o'clock in the morning, we all came like crawling out to practice. It was freezing to where we didn't want to take any clothes off. And then with like the freezing cold, like that change in temperature really affected our lungs doing our 120-yard sprints that we have to do. But we all just kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, we got to change now. We got a game in 3 days, so... It's just coming back. It's been a transition, but it's something that we've all done fine with. I mean, it's you're playing soccer, so it doesn't matter what you do. You just play soccer.
You simply have to adjust again.
Exactly.
Besides the fact that you've been on this trip with the team as a freshman and of some of the freshmen, you've also been one of the freshman players who gained a lot of time on the field. I saw during the season of college soccer. So did you expect that in your first season?
When I came into the program and I saw how many forwards we have, and since we play a formation that only has 3 forwards, sometimes only 2, I didn't expect much playing time as a freshman. And I knew, because of how I talked about our competitiveness, that I would have to earn that position. And honestly, I've been pleasantly surprised with myself at how hard I've worked and knowing that I've earned that like second or third string forward position. And I know my role is to come in and like continue the momentum of the game and help my teammates out. So I've been pleasantly surprised, I'll say that.
Yeah. And you've also been substituted a lot of times, so gotten into the game, I'd say. And this seems to be kind of a thing that Tara Kolesky also works with a lot. So to bring new players in and to exchange a lot and so on. How did you experience that? How is it to know, well, maybe I'm already off the field again in some minutes and maybe I just have to jump in and have to show my best in just 2 minutes too?
That's one of the hardest parts about college soccer, I think, is you're given a short window of time to prove yourself. You always are having to prove yourself in practice to gain the minutes, but you don't realize how nerve-wracking it is when coach finally calls your name and you start warming up and you're like, okay, it's the last 5 minutes. That's the craziest time of the game. And you have to go in and your main goal is make an impact on the game. So your biggest thing that goes through your head is don't mess up. But I mean, all we can do is go out there and do our best. And the substitutions are nerve-wracking, but I'm glad I get the minutes, so.
Yeah, that's true. And it always was, kind of an important part of the play in those last 2 minutes in your case, mm-hmm. because you had a lot of games during the season when the last minutes were really deciding minutes.
Definitely. So
that was really, really, yeah, exciting and thrilling also for us in the broadcasting booth. I have to admit that. After this weekend, the upcoming weekend, and your two last match days, your first season here at the Dominican Penguins soccer team is already over. So how does your resume look like after this first season of college soccer?
I think taking the year as like a whole and looking at it, I can say I was able to get minutes in. I was able to go on all of the travel teams and connect with the upperclassmen. And for me, that's just a huge learning experience of how far I can grow in these 4 years. I got to see how Tara Kolesky was as a coach, and I'm so excited for the next 3 years under her. And just, I haven't got many shots off, and I haven't got my first collegiate goal yet, but that just shows where I can grow in the next 3 years, and I'm really looking forward to pushing myself because I know I can get there.
That sounds like a good plan for the for the upcoming years. How is the relationship towards the upperclassmen and to the seniors, for example, in the game, who have played on this collegiate soccer level for a very long time? How do they kind of help you, and how do you maybe also contribute to what they can do?
I think the relationship between some of our underclassmen and the upperclassmen is they kind of take us under their wing. They've been very supportive throughout this whole process, and I think that's something unique about our women's soccer program. Sometimes some of the upperclassmen can be distant, especially because we live on campus and they're off, but they've always been willing to take us in and not only help us on the field but off the field. And personally, I've just learned so much from our seniors and our junior captains and things like that. And it just, college soccer is so different than what you would expect from all of your like youth soccer that you've played for the last like so many years.
Yeah.
And you have to take the time to learn from them and take constructive criticism, because you're gonna mess up and they're the ones who have the experience to help you. So I would say my experience and relationships with them has grown a lot throughout the season.
And that's what a team is about. Yeah.
Yep, that learning from your support. Elders, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So you said that it's a huge difference to all the different levels of soccer you played during your career. What do you say is the biggest difference?
The biggest difference would probably be the passion, because every girl that is on this team and every team that we play wants to be here, and they're here for a reason. So it's a positive change in a way, because everybody has that same drive and that want to be on that field. So I love that change about it, and it's a lot harder, definitely a lot harder, and I'm just glad that I have the coach that I have and the girls I have, because without that support system behind me, these games would be a lot harder, and it would be a lot, we aren't getting the results we want necessarily, but with the effort that we put in and like the good results that we do get, you definitely feel it, and those are the great memories that I'm going to remember from college soccer.
That sounds good. That sounds like a good plan for all the upcoming seasons you're going to play here. So thank you, Melissa, for this first impressions of college soccer at Dominican University. And before we're going to take a little look backwards to your beginnings in soccer, we'll take a short music break again. Like all of my guests, Melissa, too, has given me a list of her favorite soccer songs, kind of. And I'll play the first one right now. It's My Life Be Like by The Grits. So, Melissa, this song has a pretty self-explicatory message. Is it your motto, kind of, too?
I mainly chose this song because we listened to it before warm-ups, and I like listening to it. It gets me kind of in the mood for soccer. So, that's why I chose this song.
Low-key and stand candid, reflecting all the things I try my hand at. Search for the equation to pursue. persuasions I'm used to. Finding comfort in the zones of classic bones I get loose to. A mountain is Fontaine, spinning in monsoon and grinning is high octane. Explosive how I came, rolling down the hills cause life's a hassle. Encircled by my folly like a moat surround the castle. Stay afloat, catch a second wind, thin is the air I breathe. Teary-eyed nose running, wipe the snout on my sleeve. I'm calling on the Savior to be all that I need. Please forgive me, my behavior had me lost in light speed.
You're listening to Jewels on the Field, live here on radio.dominican.edu. This was Melissa Stokely's first song, My Life Be Like, by Grits. So now we're turning to kind of a flashback in your soccer beginnings, to your soccer beginnings. So turning back to your personal experience with soccer, when did you play with the soccer ball for the first time?
For Can the you remember? First time, I started playing soccer when I was 4 years old.
Whoa, that's really early.
Yeah, that's when I started playing.
So how did your soccer career kind of proceed from then on? What were the different steps?
Oh, goodness.
It's a long story, I suppose.
It's definitely a long story. I started playing when I was four, so I played rec soccer for 2 years of under six and 2 years of under eight. And then my first year of U10, I went into select soccer, mm-hmm. which is like a step above and things okay. like that. And I believe I played one more year of select, and at U11 and on, I've played competitive soccer. I started playing competitive soccer with a club back home in Sacramento called San Juan, and I played there for 4 years.
So this is kind of the first level when you had really the competitions and the games
yep.
and so on.
Huge okay. competition. You had to try out to make the team, and not everyone makes the team. That okay. was what that was a huge difference between competitive and select. So we had that, and then I changed from San Juan to a club that I ended with, Placer United, and I played there for 4 years, I think. I think I have to add it all up. I don't know.
Yeah. So but that's a long Yeah, long hobby for you, kind
Definitely,
of.
Definitely, yeah.
So what was the reason for you to choose soccer in particular and not any other sport that's out there?
Well, it's kind of funny because, like, most kids in their youth, they try all the different sports to kind of see what they like. But I have only ever played soccer my entire life. I never tried. Like, I did track in middle school, but that was to stay in shape for soccer in between seasons. Okay. And I started playing soccer because my close family friend played, and he was a year older than me, and I started playing because of him, and I wanted to be just like him because we were, like, best friends. So our parents signed us up for the same team, and I just never stopped playing.
Especially kind of when you're starting at that young age, you kind of have a role model that you want to keep up with and so on. So it was the same in your case.
Definitely. And then I started getting into, like, the famous people like Mia Hamm, and that was when that was all big, when I first started playing, and, like, I wanted to be Mia Hamm, and I was going to be Tiffany Milbert because she was the tiny soccer player, and that was going to be me.
That's cool. Yeah, you need role models, kind of. You definitely do. So when did you decide, or why did you decide to go to Dominican later? What was the kind of thing that was thrilling for you that kept you here?
I decided to go to Dominican because of the academics, first of all. I thought that it had great opportunities when I learned that you had to take internships and things like that. And being so close to San Francisco, I thought the city provided a lot of future opportunities career-wise, that when I got through my 4 years and the communications program, I knew that Brad and Stu could help me get into something that would be a good career for me. So I actually came to Dominican first for career, and then I spoke with the coaches. I committed in December, and I actually committed to Coach Phil because he was the coach at the time. And then I didn't find out that Tara Koleski was going to be the new coach until this summer. So, but it was great to meet her for the first time.
Yeah, sure. So does it work for the athletics part of your college career? How do you get into that program? Because in most athletics, I hear it's very, very competitive and very hard to get in.
It's very competitive. Probably starting your sophomore and definitely into your junior year, you start sending emails to coaches that you'd like to come out, and they come out to your tournament games, and you give them your schedules, and they'll watch you. And if they're interested in you, they can reply back to your emails saying, this is what we like. For Dominican, what happened was I came to an ID camp that they held here in December, and an ID camp is basically just looking at all possible recruits and seeing how they play against one another, and they throw in a couple girls from the team, and you play, like, with them, kind of. It's during the off season, so it's nothing, like, specific, but you just play, and, like, if they like what they see, they can talk to you about it, and then as, like, your relationship with them and the program progresses, they'll offer you a spot on the team that you can accept or decline as you go throughout the college acceptance process. And since I accepted in December, I had to make sure I got into the school and everything like that. But
so it's first athletics, and then you have to see that you get in.
Yep.
Okay. So as I told you already, Melissa is also a communications major, as I am too. So you said you first chose Dominican for the career options and the field you're studying actually as a major. So what made you interested in communications?
Communications, I thought, was interesting because I think you can do a wide variety of things with communications. I just have always found it interesting. I am decent in all of my subjects, like science and math and things like that, but they're not a passion for me. And in my junior and senior year, I got really involved in the yearbook program at my high school, and I became the sports editor of my yearbook team in my senior year, and I excelled in it, and I feel like I did a really good job. So it got me really interested in what I could do, like, journalistically in the communications program, and I love sports. I know a lot about soccer. So if I could do anything that had to do with sports broadcasting or sports publicity, those were things that I was interested in maybe pursuing. But as many freshmen, I don't know what I want to do with my life. So I figured it was a good place to start.
Yeah, sure. And it's always good to be an expert in your field when you're an athlete yourself. So that's pretty good, actually. I've heard that especially our soccer teams tend to have practice every morning at very, very early times. You already told me that. So how did you cope with that when you first got here? I always imagined that to be a huge transition.
That is probably the hardest part, to be honest. Like, first you have double days, which is already hard enough as it is, but then when you have 7 a.m. practice and you have to be there at like 6:50 in the morning and it's pitch black because our field doesn't have lights, so you're playing off of the sunrise and it's freezing, it's definitely an experience you have to get used to. And the only thing I can say is you don't want to sleep through your alarm, because that's never going to be good, and our coach will run you to the ground. So,
what will happen then, actually?
Actually, you get suspended for a couple of games if you are late to a practice.
So it should be good to have roommates that are up at that time.
Yeah, we are always communicating with like our teammates, trying to like walk down with each other because we all live on campus. But there have been instances this season where people have been late.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that sounds not that good.
It's a life lesson that some people learn, I guess.
Yeah.
Not one I want to learn.
Maybe you have to. So, talking about the team spirit, I've already mentioned in the beginning of the show, what do you think is the reason for this good atmosphere in your team, even though that a lot of freshman people came to the team and joined the team in the beginning of the season?
I think what's great about our freshmen that came into this program is their outgoing personalities. And it, rather than being shy, they kind of just blended right in with the upperclassmen. And like I said before, the upperclassmen have took us under their wing. So it didn't matter how old you were. You're obviously going to have respect for your upperclassmen. But they treated us as equals, and they always included us to do things with them. You're going to have your groups of friends on the team, but everyone has worked so well together. And like, our captains have put together like team dinners that we have almost before every game. And there's just a lot of bonding opportunities for our team. We have classes together with our teammates and everything else. I just think the positive atmosphere comes from the girls themselves, and our personalities mesh so well together. Like, we're a family on and off the field. And I know that like my soccer sisters, if you want to call them that, will always be loyal to me. And if I ever need anything, they'll always be there for me.
That sounds really, really good. And that's what a team should be like, I think, especially when it's collegial soccer and when it's supposed to be somehow competitive too.
Exactly. I mean, you look at a lot of soccer teams, and when it's that competitive, you don't have that relationship. But that is something about this team that I find so great, and it attracted me to the soccer program, is just how open these girls are. And it is a family, and that's what makes us so strong.
So thank you, Melissa, for joining me today and having this inside view for us, kind of. I think we've all got a little more insight in the world of soccer athletes at Dominican right now. So before we're reaching the last section of my show, the Dominican Athletic News, we'll listen to another song on Melissa's list, A Little Party Never Killed Nobody by Fergie. Melissa, this song always reminds me of the party scenes in the movie The Great Gatsby. So what is the soccer memory connected to this song, actually?
The soccer memory comes from our pregame warm-up list. Our captain, McKenna Kimball, always dances to this song, and a good laugh is always something that our team needs.
I ain't got time for you, baby. Either you're mine or you're not. Make up your mind, sweet baby. Right here, right now is all we got. A little party never killed nobody. So we gon' dance until we drop. A little party never killed nobody. Right here, right now is all we got.
chit-chat of the things I got, and my stout reputation of keeping it hot. It's the party of the year, and my master plan is to make you realize I'm your
man.
Give
the people get live underneath the moonlight. Hot, they top, they paparazzi. Hold on, wanna take this flick. Speak easy, rocking the feathers, I'm breezy. Hope you can keep up, boys, cause believe me, I'm a beastie. It don't mean a thing if I give you my heart, if you tear it apart. No, it don't mean a thing if I ain't in your eyes, Papa, that ain't gonna fly. No, it don't mean a thing if I give you my heart, if you tear it apart. No, it don't mean a thing if I ain't in your eyes, Papa, that ain't gonna fly. No, Goon Rock, are you ready?
A little party never killed nobody.
We're back again in the studio of Penguin Radio. You're listening to Jules on the Field today with my guest Melissa Stokely, soccer player in our Dominican women's soccer team. The song we just played was A Little Party Never Killed Nobody by Fergie. In today's news section in Jules on the Field, I of course focus on our Lady Penguins soccer news first. They have a very tough schedule during the upcoming days, but sadly these are their last match days already. I really cannot believe it, the season went by so fast. At least both of their last games are home games again. I have to admit that I really like the fact that after their trip to Hawaii, they have their last two games in front of their home audience. Tomorrow, our women's soccer team is matched against California Baptist at 1 p.m. at Kennelly Field. And on Saturday, it's their last game of the season against Azusa Pacific at 11 a.m. So, Melissa, how do you feel about these last two matches? Are you satisfied with your team's performance during the season?
I can say that we have worked hard throughout our whole season. We obviously wanted to move on to playoffs, which would have needed more wins. These will be our toughest games of the season, which will be very difficult. And I just look forward to going out and giving it everything we got because our seniors deserve it. So that's what I'm looking forward to in these last couple of games.
That sounds like a great plan for these last two games. Our men's soccer team will play the same two opponents too. Their game against California Baptist is scheduled for Thursday, October 24th, tomorrow, so to speak, at 3:30 p.m. And the match against Azusa Pacific will be on Saturday, October 26th at 1:30 p.m. These four soccer games of the season will also be the last games for Jordan Smith and me doing the soccer broadcast live at Kennelly Field. It's really sad that the season's over because it was so much fun. But if you're not able to attend the games live at the field, make sure you tune in on radio.dominican.edu and listen to our live coverage. It's your last chance, as I told you. Our Dominican Penguins volleyball team is back home too, and their last season will still go on for some weeks more. After a couple of away matches during the past days, they're returning to Conlon Center on Friday, October 25th, to play Mills College at 6 p.m. Of all the athletic events here on campus, you should really make sure to attend this game because it also has a very special focus. Our Dominican women's volleyball team is having a fundraiser for Alicia Boy, who was diagnosed with breast cancer in July this year. She has stage 3 triple negative invasive ductal carcinoma, grade 3, and metastasis to at least 2 lymph nodes. Alicia started chemotherapy in August, followed by a double mastectomy, and will maybe need radiation as well. The ticket price for adults will be $5, and all proceeds will go to Alicia personally. The admissions is free for Dominican students, but you are encouraged to donate some money too. So make sure you take some people with you to Conlon Center on that day. In addition, after the soccer games on Saturday, October 26th, you don't have any reason to go back to your dorm because our volleyball team will play against the Holy Names University at 6 p.m. And I'm sure those two universities are not only big rivals on the soccer field. And then finally, just before the next episode of Jewels on the Field, there will be our Dominican men's golf team taking part in the Classic Attribute at the Colony in Texas from Monday, October 28th until Tuesday, October 29th. And you can stay updated, of course, through their homepage, dominicanathletics.com. As we're reaching the end of this fourth episode of Jewels on the Field, inside the world of our athletes, I've got two more public service announcements for you. The Associated Students at Dominican University, ASDU, are, for example, searching for people to help them with planning Shield Day, which will be on November 6th at 5 p.m. in Angelica Hall. All classes, not just freshmen, should have representatives in this event. Speakers, dancers, and singers are needed. Shield Day will be a special day for everyone and should bring back the tradition of sharing our shields here at Dominican with one another. Everyone who wants to get involved in Shield Day, please contact Lauren Castro at lauren.castro@dominican.edu or connect with ASDU Senior Representative Alex Lopez Ramirez. After so many Dominican news, it's time for another short music break before the show's over. Melissa's last song for today is Waka Waka by Shakira, the official FIFA song of the 2010 Soccer World Cup in South Africa. So, Melissa, what do you recall when listening to this song?
This song just reminds me of soccer, and it reminds a lot of my soccer friends of the World Cup that happened that year, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Okay. Then I just do the okay. Me too.
You're a good soldier, choosing your battles. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it. This is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This time for Africa.
Welcome back to Jewels on the Field, live here on radio.dominican.edu. This was Shakira with her song Waka Waka. My show's right now over, I'm sorry, but there will be a live broadcast from the Soul Candy event, our talent and performing arts show here in Angelica Hall. So stay tuned on radio.dominican.edu to listen to our amazing hidden talents here at Dominican University. I'll see you again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. as usual, so tune in again, have a good evening, and I'll see you next week when there's another episode of Jewels on the Field.
Once I was afraid of love, where did your brother those things change? 'Cause love is just another word for trust.